Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Creeper in the studio right now hanging out with me. They're going to be playing tonight with Hatebreed. It is 20 years of perseverance. I remember buying that CD at Target the day it came out. Guys, welcome back to the studio. Welcome back to Seattle. Welcome back to KISW.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So I previously have had Chase on the show a couple times, but this is the first time I've had the full band. So this is the full Gatecreeper experience. Let's go around the room. Tell me what your name is and what you do for Gatecreeper.
I'm Eric, and I play guitars.
I'm Alex, I play bass.
I'm Matt, and I play drums.
I'm Izzy, and I play guitar.
I'm Chase, and I'm the lead singer head coach.
Yes. So head coach, are you kind of the band dad? Are you like the TM kind of?
For some things, Eric's kind of the band dad too of certain things. We all have our own place where we're the dad.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So one thing that people probably can't see too much right now is you have a hat on with an American flag. It looks bedazzled. It says, I don't call, or we don't dial 911. Was that like a Bucky's pickup? Where'd you get that?
It was a truck stop somewhere. This is actually from a truck stop in Beaver, Utah.
Beaver, Utah.
Yeah.
Nice, okay. So you guys, this has been your first time back in Seattle in a couple years, or have you played here?
We played here earlier this year at Numos.
That's right.
Headline tour.
That's right. That was with Narrowhead.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a cool show. That was a really you guys headlined that. Did you guys specifically just like mix it up with that lineup?
Yeah. I mean, we tried to mix it up. I mean, earlier that year, we had done a tour with Obituary, which was, kind of catering to the straight up death metal fan.
Yep.
So after that, we wanted to follow it up with something a little bit more mixed up to get other people out to the shows.
Nice, right on. And how did it go? It went over pretty well.
Yeah, it was great. That was awesome. Yeah. The whole tour was really awesome. Mm-hmm. It was cool to see how it really sparked off with that diverse lineup.
So nice. That's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So, Unexpected Reality is out now. It's been out since couple of years now, or
January 21 it came out.
21. Okay, it's such a weird timeline. I interviewed you like within the pandemic, and there was that time where we were doing Zoom interviews, and there was always that awkward lag of like, all right, hold on. But it's good to have like live in person interviews. It's actually my first time I've had a touring band in studio, so this is kind of special. So
nice.
So I guess I've had Chase on, so fill me in with you guys. Like, what was your first foray into metal? Into like underground music? Let's go around the room. What was your first was it a show, or was it CD you got by accident?
I was lucky. I had my sister, my older sister, shout out Haley, Avey. She was always into hardcore and metal and stuff, and so she was always there, and I'd watch from a distance. I'd like listen, she'd be listening to stuff in her room.
What was she into?
She was into all sorts of stuff. She was into like ska and hardcore and freaking like punk and metal, but when I was real little at Christmas, she put a Cannibal Corpse CD, Gore Obsessed, in my stocking.
That's awesome.
She snuck it in.
Yes.
And I found it, and I was like, I remember listening to that for the first time, just being like, I have no idea what this is, but this is really cool.
Yeah.
And just all kind of started from there. But I was lucky to have like my sister there, kind of showing me the ropes, you know, and stuff and different things. So that was fun.
Years later, you get to tour with Cannibal Corpse. Yeah, exactly. That's so crazy.
No, man. I know. So cool. I told them that story. Yeah. That was funny. But that was awesome. So I was always felt lucky to have her in my life for that. And she would take me to shows and stuff. And
yeah.
We have there's a lot of good bands in Tucson and Arizona and stuff. So there's a cool scene out there. And so
yeah,
I always felt like there was like plenty of opportunities to get involved in that. So
that's awesome.
That was fun.
Hell yeah. So how about you guys?
I feel like probably like back in the day, like in middle school, like probably just from seeing like people's shirts that they're wearing, like I found like Black Dahlia Murder.
Yeah.
And that was like really big for me. Like that was like the most like extreme I had heard at the time for sure. And like from there, I was like, hell yeah. Like what were they listening to? And got into At the Gates. Yep. From there, it was like, oh, like this whole like Sweden thing. Mm-hmm. Like there's a bunch of sick ass death metal bands from here, got an Entombed, Dismember, and then the rest is
you got the Nihilist back patch.
Got the Nihilist back patch years later. Yeah, so yeah. So it really kind of started with them. As far as like extreme metal goes, yeah, they were like really big for me. For
absolutely.
Sure.
And that's one thing that, you know, R.I.P. Trevor Sternett. It's one thing that like that guy was always like well known for is just like putting on these bands. Like he wore his influences on his sleeves.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
And it, literally on his t-shirts. You
absolutely.
Know? He was always repping those bands and he was always, you know, going out of his way to like bring, like I was talking with Alex from Undeath. Like he fought to get them on tour for their first tour. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, touring with After the Burial and Black Dahlia. Like he was like straight up like that guy, which is really cool. So just had to throw that in there. And how about you, man?
I grew up in Tucson, same place as Eric, so there was a lot of hardcore going on at that time in the late 90s, early 2000s, so most of my friends were listening to, like, hardcore or what became metalcore at the time. I don't
Where
think
Eagles Dare?
Yeah, that's an Arizona band. Yeah.
Life in Pictures?
Yep. Yeah. Overcome. There's a lot of like metalcore stuff going on.
The Face Down movement.
Yeah, exactly. But one of my friends in junior high, we were hanging out, he was like, yo, you got to check out this record. And he said, I remember he told me this is the soundtrack to me getting killed, taking PCP and getting murdered by the cops.
Okay.
And he put on Decapitated Spheres of Madness.
Yes.
And I was just, that was like the death metal moment for me. Like, holy shit. Yeah, so that was the moment for me when I was like, wow, death metal, this is it.
Yeah, so that's awesome. And how about you, man?
I got pretty lucky, too. I had an older brother that got me into like Sepultura and Pantera and shit.
Yeah,
so that was definitely my introduction into
Does he like Gatecreeper?
Yeah, he loves
Gatecreeper. Dude, that's sick, dude. That's awesome. And Chase, you can remind us. We there's documentation of this in the past episodes, but why don't you fill us in again?
I mean, I had a cousin who got me into this stuff younger, so my intro was through punk and through skateboarding and then through skate videos, hearing a lot of extreme music for the first time. And that was my entry point.
Best skate company, was it Zero,
do you think? Yeah, the Zero videos had the best soundtrack. That's the first time I ever heard Slayer was in a Zero video.
Yep.
The Toy Machine videos had good stuff, and then the CKY videos. And I think a big part for me too, I think some of the other guys said, is like around that time, it was when Jamie Josta was hosting Headbangers Ball and a lot of those
full
bands.
Circle.
Yeah, so now we're on tour with Mr. Jost himself.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I used to watch. I used to stay home and watch that. Like, I found so many bands through that.
I remember, like, we had, so there was a band in Seattle, Himsa, and they were one of my favorites. And I remember, like, it was appointment viewing when Himsa's in studio on Headbangers Ball tonight. Holy shit. Dude, and like Nevermore, one time they were up there, so we were just like, Jamie's representing Seattle, man.
So cool.
Yeah,
it's so awesome. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. What's it been like being on, you know, this is a monumental tour for Hatebreed fans, for I mean, they're such a band that like people know the name, even if they're not into, you know, like death metal, they know Hatebreed. Because he had that, you know, huge, he had that pulpit with Headbangers Ball. You know, he had that. So, you know, what's it been like? Have you guys had some FaceTime with Jamie? Have you guys hung out with the band at all?
Yeah, I mean, we've hung out with the band a lot. We've had some FaceTime, a little bit of FaceTime with Jamie, but all the guys in the band are super awesome. They're hanging out. They're wearing our shirts on stage.
That's
they're
awesome.
Giving us, you know, Matt's been broing down with the drummer.
Yeah.
You know, like, guitar player's been hanging out, talking shop.
Yeah.
It's been cool.
The stories are cool, too. Like, I saw them, first time I saw them was 2004. It was God Forbid, Hatebreed, Slayer and Slipknot, and Slipknot played over Slayer. I remember being very mad.
Yep.
But I talked to them about that tour, and like that was such a big tour to see for me, you know, as like a young kid,
yep.
like seeing Slayer for the first time and Hatebreed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to like talk to them about that. They've toured with Slayer like 7 times.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah, just talking about that, and like all they have such crazy stories and stuff, and they know everyone.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Like doing all those old the Ozfests and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah,
what a career.
We spent a few late nights in their van, just like punishing them with questions and stuff. Yeah. They played Ozfest more than like any band ever, I think.
The guitar players, Sean Martin and mm-hmm. Frank. I mean, they've played in. Integrity,
100 Ringworm, Demons, yep.
yeah, Terror, 100 Demons.
Now like Twitching Tongues.
Yeah, yeah, they have.
It's crazy.
All kinds of stories.
Yeah.
Matt, too.
Man. Yeah, Matt was in All Out War.
Yeah.
Damn.
Freaking. Wayne was Rihanna's guitar tech.
What?
In 2007.
Wow.
You can see him on SNL. He's
That's
the,
crazy.
He's in the back, like, changing the guitar.
It's funny that you say like you spend some late nights like punishing the band, and that's one thing that like I've said it before, you know, I have a position where I can punish bands, you know what I mean? You know, there's a reason for me to punish. If I wasn't doing a radio show, I would probably be punishing you guys by your tour bus, but just the fact of the matter is I get to have you guys up here to a studio, so there's a reason to do it. Yeah. So
professional punisher.
Professional punisher. Exactly. That needs to be a t-shirt for the
I think it's cool being able to tour with these bands that, you know, we've looked up to, or mm-hmm. you know, we got into, that were gateways to heavy music for us, and it's helped us as a band. You know, we're also fans, so we get to punish them, but also yep. we get to, every time we tour with a band that's been around for a long time, or a band we look up to, we learn how to be a better band.
Yep.
We learn how to tour. You know, dating back to Cannibal Corpse or whatever it is, that was like 5 years ago, but yep. we learned like, all right, this is how you operate like as a career band, yeah. and we learn more and more every time that we tour with a band that we look up to.
And that's just knowledge being pushed, put, you know, just, it's just straight up knowledge, dude. Like that's how you're learning this ropes, is by talking with these people that have been through the wars, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Like last week or whenever, a couple of days ago, whenever tour time, we played in Albuquerque and Obituary jumped on.
Awesome.
So it was us, you know, it was a package, but Obituary between us and Hatebreed. And we were hanging out, and it was Trevor, and then Trevor, the guitar player of Obituary, Matt from Hatebreed, and I talking about how it was like the three of us all, like, you know, like almost like three generations.
Yep.
You know, and he has all these stories back in the day of like being nervous to talk to Trevor.
Yeah.
You know, and then I don't know, it's just cool to see all these the different generations of metal mm-hmm. bands and stuff touring together, getting to play together and learn yep. from each other, but and share experiences. It's really cool. So it was just a cool moment.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing is and I'll mention that another RIP, Riley Gale, that guy, we interviewed him, you know, about a year before he passed for Metal Shop. And he said something really important. He said, like, you know, these bands, like these legacy artists are in a position right now where they should be bringing out the new blood, because there's like such a gap between the legacy artist and I'm not going to call out any bands, but you know who I'm talking about, all retro or all legacy, but like they're at a point where they can bring up that new one. Maybe it'd be hard because you would smoke them, you know what I mean? It'd be hard to keep up with the youngins, but you know, it's important for bands like Hatebreed, you know, that have that rep.
Yeah.
To put on for the youngsters.
Well, I mean, metal really hasn't been along or been around that long in the mm-hmm. scheme of things. So it's like, you know, what's the next, you know, I don't know. We're creating, we're paving the future for it.
And yeah.
So that's important. And you never mm-hmm. know, you know. You gotta, those older bands that started, you know, death metal.
Yeah.
Know, they're still around. Like when they're gone, it's who knows what it's gonna be like, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an important point.
So what was the first, Chase, you mentioned, like, it's awesome to be, you know, on the road with these bands that you've looked up to. What was the first time where you were like, holy shit? Was there like a holy shit moment? Was it that Cannibal Corpse tour?
Or probably. Like? I mean, we had been touring, that was in 2017. We started touring 15.
Yep.
We had met Alex Webster. We nice. Were, it was our first package tour, was right around the time that our first record came out on Relapse. It was mm-hmm. in the fall of 2016. It was Skeleton Witch headlining,
yeah,
with Iron Reagan, Oathbreaker, and us. We were the first yep. of four bands. Did it come up here?
Yeah, it did. It was at the Highline.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, R.I.P.
So that was our venue. First like package tour. Mm-hmm. We had done our own tours before, but that was the first one. And we did that. We met Alex Webster in Portland, and I remember being at the show, and we were all like, "Is that Alex Webster?"
Right.
So we went up and talked to him, and I went to give him a CD, and he was like, "I don't want it. I already have it." And I was kind of like, cool. "Oh, he's just being nice." Yeah. But then he was like, "Yeah, I like this song. I like this part of this song." And I was like, "Oh, he actually does listen to it." And then we, a couple months later, we got the call to, you know, or the email to offer from Cannibal Corpse to do this tour, and we were like, "Yeah, of course." And then later on the tour, we found out that it was Alex, that he was like, "Hey, I wanted to bring you out." And at that point, just the touring that we had done, he was like, "I know that you guys, we've heard that you guys are good to tour with, that you're on time, and that you're a good live band," or whatever it is. So like, that goes a long way, and that's always been part of our band, is just to be like super easy to tour with, be on time, like just be on the ball. So it goes a long way.
Yeah. It's like what you said before. I remember you told me, he said, "I saw you guys," he's like, "you came two or three times in the same year to Portland."
Yes.
And he was like, "I don't see young bands like hitting it that hard."
Yep.
And so he was like, "I wanted to give you guys a shot to tour with us." You know, that was part of it. You know, I thought that was cool. Like, he's watching the field and like, you know, giving opportunities. He knows what he has, you know, he can offer people.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So they're all great guys.
And for to the bands that have worked to get to that. So it's not just like you put out a single and get some hype and then now you're on a camera. He saw you put in the work.
Well, they know you have, you know, I mean, you can get big overnight, but like in the end, if you want to have a career, it's hard work and it's baby steps and it's grinding, you know? Yeah. So I always thought that was cool.
Absolutely. And that's something you guys have in common with all the bands. Like, so all the support bands on this tour, Dying Wish has been on tour 11 out of the 12 months. Body Snatcher played Seattle 3 times in the past year, basically. Like, it's just like all these bands, and Hatebreed's, you know, obviously noticed that. So that's cool. It's awesome. So one thing I have to ask is you know, so I've seen Gatecreeper a few times. You guys are the newish members. You guys have been with the band for a while, but tell us what was I believe it's just you two that are the O3. Okay.
Yeah.
So what was it like bringing jumping aboard the Gatecreeper ship? And had you guys been friends, or how'd you guys you know, get the call, or what was that like?
I was first in 2020, I believe.
Yeah, right before.
Yeah, my other band, Judiciary, we did it.
Judiciary, yeah. With Exhumed. Yeah, saw Exhumed. Yeah.
And then that tour, they needed a fill-in. So at first it started off as that. They're like, "Would you want to fill in for us next year?" And then it kind of just slowly like worked out.
That's cool. There you go. That's great.
Yeah, it was really cool for me because I had been a fan of the band since they started. I went to some of their first shows, and like, you know, I was like 17 at the time, like when they first started, and to be like watching them on the come up to like where they are now. And then, you know, one day, like, Chase just texted me and was like, "Hey man, like, you want to give it a shot?" You know, it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And like, we all just mesh really well, and you know, it just feels really natural. It's really cool.
Cause me, Matt and Eric, we started the band when we started the band, it was just us three.
Oh, okay.
And like our first EP we recorded, it was just the three of us. And then, you know, over time, there's been a couple people in the guitar and bass spots. But now it's like we're the older guys, and these guys are younger. So it's like bringing in some new blood, and I think it's helped all of us to have some younger people in that are maybe not as jaded as us.
Sure.
You know,
it's like Soulfly bringing in his son, you know. Do you guys ever see Max around?
Yeah.
You guys are from Arizona, so you guys see Max once in a while?
Like, yeah, he comes to our shows.
That's
sick. He's one of those people that just pops up.
Yep.
You know, like, just throw him on the list and maybe you see if, you don't know if he's coming or not, but he's a huge, like, you're talking about Trevor, Max is a person that's always putting on for new bands. And I think being from Arizona too, he's specifically, you know, made an effort to keep our name in his mouth, you know?
That we got Chris Barnes here, but he doesn't show up too often to shows. He kind of just stays in his house and smokes his weed, I think. So
our boy Chris.
Guys, so the year's almost over, but are you guys going to be working on a record? Are you guys like okay? That's what I would assume. So you guys are probably going to have to like have. I would assume like we can't accept any more tour offers.
Exactly.
Just like, let's write a record, right?
Yeah, it's literally what happened.
Yeah, okay. We've been working on it for probably 2 years. Mm-hmm. We've just been writing kind of at our own pace. But over the past 6 months, I would say, we were like, all right, let's really get it. Been writing, kicking into overdrive.
Yeah.
But we have, like you said, for the first 6 months of next year, we're like, we have to block this off. We had to do that for our last record, too, for Deserted, because, you know, we're in a position where, you know, we get a lot of tour offers.
Yeah.
And if we just accept everyone, we'll never have time to do a record. So we have to kind of make like a take a hard stance and be like, during this time period, we just have to dedicate it for the record.
Just don't open the emails, because it'll be too hard to read those ones. You have to turn down.
Yeah. Hard to stop, for sure.
So we've been working on it a lot. And for the first 6 months of next year, that's what we're going to be doing.
That's awesome.
Hopefully getting it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this will be your first album on Nuclear Blast,
yep.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
You know, label mates with, you know,
everybody.
Everybody. In Flames, you know, like all the Meshuggah, or, you know, past Meshuggah, but, you know, like seriously, like that's a game changer right there.
Therion.
There you go.
Label mates with Therion. Cradle.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I saw you guys post pictures this past year. You guys were at Hellfest, right?
Yeah.
So what's a day like at Hellfest when you're, you know, who are you seeing? Kiss, Judas Priest, Nine Inch Nails? Is it just it's just like a Hot Topic wall of every band you want to see?
It's awesome.
Go ahead.
It's just very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And also very hectic.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it seems like you'd be able to go there and there's like, even if you look at the lineup for your own day, you're like, oh, I'm going to see all these other bands. But once you're there, it's like, hurry up and wait every second. Yep. Like, get to this stage.
Yep.
All right, you have a green room for 1 hour. So get in there, and then, okay, you guys got to leave. Another band's got to go in there. It was during a heat wave.
It's 103.
Oh, my God.
It's so hot.
It's 103 with no fans.
Wow.
No ice.
Yeah, no ice.
So it was hectic. It was cool, but it was also a thing where the tour that we did for Europe that summer, there was a lot of festivals.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in a van, but some of the ones we had to fly to go to one of the festivals and then fly to another festival. So that was like, we had to get in there super early and then fly out that day. So we didn't even get to hang out for the whole night. And then you're trying to do what, get ready for the show, pack your stuff up. You got to eat, but we're always on the move. We were always on the move, especially that day. That's what I remember.
It was a fun day, though, and especially for us, like, we're still fans of music, so we still get excited to meet new people or like people.
You're not above geeking out over these.
No, of course, and you try to keep it to a minimum. You don't want to bum anybody out, but for sure, like, I ran into Harley from Cro-Mags, and that was kind of crazy.
Man.
I saw him at catering, just being a wild man.
Yep.
The next day, we had a flight to Copenhagen, I think, because we were playing Copenhagen.
Nice.
The next day. And I was on the plane with Gene Hoagland, legendary drummer Gene Hoagland.
Yeah.
And then Gene Hoagland sat right behind me. And then a few rows up, Bron Daler from Mastodon was sitting.
Wow. Was Gene Hoagland doing Fear Factory? Or was
he
doing
with
Dark Angel?
Death to All, I think.
Okay,
the
cool.
act he was
That's
doing
sick.
Europe with at that time. But so it's cool to just run into these people that we've looked up to for years.
And they're your peers now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a humbling experience, but also it's something that we're trying to get used to being, comfortable in that space. Like, we have arrived.
Act like you've been there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, act like we belong
And like you were talking about earlier, like, there's a lot of definitely legacy bands that they keep their ear to what's new.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that aren't, and that might not just because they're super busy. But I feel like when we were playing those festivals with a lot of bigger bands, that was the first time that we were on their radar. So that's radar. So, like, the guys from Mastodon, they were all like, you guys were you guys were sick. Like, what's up with you guys? Like, I met Nurgal.
That's cool.
Yeah. But, like, I feel like that it kind of legitimized us as their peers for and maybe put us on the radar of a lot of bands that kind of just operate on the festival circuit or whatever, that we were playing with them and that was their first time to see us. So that's cool too. And not to mention the thousands of people that we're playing to, you know.
Absolutely. So you guys got to experience the full Euro the festival touring circuit. Who had the best catering?
One in the Netherlands.
Remember Obscene Extremes catering?
Obscene Extremes, that's pretty cool. The vegan, insane. The vegan gruel.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a lot of the we probably did what like 11 festivals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nuts. Eric told me that I remember we were sitting at catering in Hellfest and it was hotter than hell. It was probably like 120 degrees in the catering thing because they didn't. It was like a heat wave that weekend and they weren't prepared for it. So it was awful. But we were sitting there eating and they had like hamburgers and hot dogs and pizza.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, man, this is the best food I've had all tour. And we were probably only like what, like a week and a half, 2 weeks into tour, so it hadn't been very long. But come to figure out, all the catering people were American, so
okay.
So that was probably why it was your favorite.
They hooked you up with the
ratio of bread to meat was perfect.
Nice.
I was thinking about that one in the Netherlands. They took us to that like library type place, and like an emperor was walking around. Yeah. And we were like, what?
Oh yeah.
But
cool.
They served us up like a couple course meal. Yeah.
Wow.
But we're going back next year, so there's like, you know, a couple months of the summer where there's just festivals.
Yep.
So we did like the June and July ones, but we're going back next year. We're going to do like the August
festivals. You do Vaken?
I think that's during that time frame, but you know, like, I don't know. I don't know what's announced right now, but
send us the offer.
Party San,
yeah.
Bloodstock. Bloodstock. Yeah.
Vaken.
You can go over there and play, you know, like three different festivals in one weekend.
Yep.
Do a couple club shows. So we got to do one block of them, and we're going back to do the next block of them next year.
You think there'll ever be a time where, like, the United States can have the infrastructure to do something? I mean, we have, like, the Radio Rock Fest. They call it the Red State Rock Fest, like the Welcome to Rockville and stuff like that. Yeah,
the Monster Energy Festival.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and you'll get, like, a Turnicell or a Knock Loose on there, but, mm-hmm. like, it's not the extreme. They got the one in Cave-In Rock. It's called, like, Full... there's like one, and it's a little smaller, but
Full Terrace Soul,
But do you think there'll ever be that infrastructure to do that in the United States, or is it just?
I think the metal. We're still growing the metal community here. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people culturally in Europe, like metal's very. I don't want to say it's mainstream, but like. It's a lot more popular there among like.
I mean, Dimmu Borgir was like went platinum there
for sure. You know? So they have a different culture there and a different market for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think here in the U.S. we've got up until recently we had what. We have Cycle Las Vegas on the West Coast,
Maryland Death Fest,
and that's kind of like the two. Those are almost like cons, like conventions for metal people.
Totally,
like, they're not. The festival thing isn't as big here, but I think if we continue to grow the metal audience here in the U.S., eventually we can have that because we see that type of festival for other genres. We just need to build the community for metal to have that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. I think that it also would require some coordination to be like so they're not overlapping because right now there's sometimes a multiple festivals in different parts of the country but they're like the same weekend or whatever it is, so not only do we probably not have enough people throughout the country to go to those because now that the few that there are there's just people travel to it
well, the distances are smaller too in Europe,
but we've played Cycle Las Vegas twice now. We just played it this year, and it's, that one's super fun.
Yes.
And we're going to play the Lamb of God Cruise.
Yes, that's what I wanted to mention. Yeah, you're playing the Lamb of God Cruise alongside Hatebreed, Dying Wish, God Forbid, reuniting for that one. Have you guys done any cruises yet?
No, that's the first one. That's kind of the new thing. The legacy band cruise, but this is going to be our first one.
Not the Weezer cruise or the Sugar Ray cruise. The 311 cruise. You guys get the Lamb of God. Yeah, definitely the coolest cruise. So you got to hang out with Ricky Rackman from Headbangers.
Hell yeah.
Dude.
And Josh will be there.
Yeah. Amazing. Jose from SiriusXM. We got Ricky Rackman. We got the big hitters of the metal media.
So. We did last year. That
which
was
is
cool.
Crazy.
The one in Iowa.
Yeah. Jesus. Like, that's the Knotfest.
Yeah.
Not in Iowa.
At that point, I mean, for the U.S., I think that's the biggest festival we've played,
The cornfield.
That was my first tour with the band.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was my first fest.
So sick.
Yeah.
That was a lot. That was an awesome show.
Yeah.
30,000 people or something.
That was a lot.
30,000 maggots.
Yeah.
The maggots are pulsing that day.
Yes, dude. insane, man. One question I gotta ask. So Turnstile just popped up on a Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah, they just got nominated for three Grammys,
including a metal Grammy, which is crazy. So Hard Rock Grammy, all that stuff. if you guys could have the choice of one product or business that represented Gatecreeper, that means like, you know, you get like, you know, full access to whenever you want, you know, to eat there. Or I asked this from Exhumed and they laughed and said, well, the one that would probably fit would be like Still Chainsaws. You know what I mean? So Exhumed, you know, represented by Still Chainsaws. Who would be a good brand partner for Gatecreeper?
Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah. There you go.
For sure.
I'd do whatever. Pro bono. Mm-hmm.
Pro bono.
For Texas Roadhouse.
For sure.
Every off day we have, that's our spot. That's where we have our
family. We love TRH.
You'd have to have the characters of us, though, in each location.
That'd be awesome.
That would be the payment, yeah. That would be good.
I think just the old standby, probably Red Bull.
Red Bull, okay. Red Bull. Yeah.
Well, I did have the Red Bull hookup, and it almost killed me, so.
Jesus.
Grinds.
Coffee pouches.
Coffee pouches. We've been chewing coffee.
Yeah. Is that like Skull?
It's but like, it's, yeah, it's you, like, you like dip it.
It's coffee snooze, so why do you chew it?
Right.
Grinds.
It gets you jacked up.
Yeah. Damn, dude.
I would go for a sponsorship with them. Yeah. Coke Zero. Yeah. Coke Zero.
Coke Zero.
Yeah.
So nice, yeah, dude. Red Bull for sure. Something also practical in the same realm is Pedialyte.
Oh, okay. We've been, dude. Absolutely.
It was on tour with Knock Loose.
Yeah.
The first tour we did back, and they come to Pedialyte. Drinking Pedialyte before you play, it actually is helpful, very helpful. Yeah. So if we, you know, do a Pedialyte campaign and say it's not just for babies, it's for rockers too.
Yeah. That's one thing I got turned on. My friend, you know, showed me back when I was a kid, Revolver magazine. Vinnie Paul had a column in there, a Q&A column.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and people were like, you know, how do you? Exactly. And one person asked, you know, how do you recover, you know, from drinking so much? And he's like, always bring some Pedialyte. You know, I don't know why I did my Phil Anselmo voice there, but you know.
No, it's a game changer.
We're talking about this earlier. Crocs. We're all
Crocs. Yeah. Crocs. Nice.
I've never worn a Croc.
I'm not quite there yet.
This is Eric. I've never worn a Croc.
So Eric, you are known as the darkest cowboy.
Yes.
Can you give us if you were a wrestler, would that be your gimmick? The darkest cowboy?
It's more of a lifestyle.
Break it down. What's the darkest cowboy?
Well, I don't know. I'm from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I have a degree in rangeland management.
Okay.
So I can stalk your cattle.
Nice.
I work still when I want to out on ranches and stuff.
Wow.
I'm not a cowboy by any means.
Yeah.
But these guys started calling me the dark cowboy one time, so I just kept it. But I don't know. I just love that stuff. I love Arizona, and I think it's a cool place. And, so if I was ever a wrestler, I'd definitely embrace that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Matt, was it Corey? Seas Will Rise, that I think he originally did the dark, he coined him the dark cowboy.
Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, shout out Corey Ryle.
Yeah. Gave him the nickname.
Is that my origin story?
Yeah, I think something so, yeah. Like that's the first time I remember it.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's just go with that. So we obviously know, you know, Brody King, wrestler for AEW. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've had Colin Young do some songs for AEW. You know, if you guys ever got asked, like, hey, would you write a song for a wrestler? Would you guys be down?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, yeah.
Nice, dude.
Corpse Grinder and I have, we practiced in Mexico, remember? Yeah. We slammed Rippy. We even have a tag team called Los Gordos.
Nice.
And it's still in the works and stuff. I can't really say much, but... But, you know, that could be something that pops up in the future.
Yeah. So you mentioned that when you want to work a little bit, you do that. Are you guys almost to the point where this can be your full-time job, or do you guys kind of all have side hustles?
It just recently got to the point.
That's awesome.
So that's why, you know, we've been touring this past year more than we ever have before, because now everybody, like, this is their – starting the band, we're all just – especially me, Matt, and Eric, you know, when we started the band, we were in our late 20s already, so it's kind of late in comparison to some other bands. So we were living adult lives, you know, working full-time jobs.
Pay rent, pay mortgage, whatever you got to do, yeah.
So slowly over time, we could only tour as our jobs allowed. Matt can tell you about his experience with working full-time, and but just recently we've all kind of made the jump of, all right, let's do this full time. It's not fully just the band, but I think all of us have other things that we're doing. Maybe not full time jobs, but, you know, part time gigs or gig work, you know, whatever people have driven for Uber before, or, you know, I do graphic design stuff and whatever to make the ends meet. But just recently, I would say in the last year or two, is that everybody's kind of doing it full time.
Yep. At that point where you're just like, all right, $5 more for t-shirts. It's going up, guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's just gas prices.
Yeah, exactly.
But Matt, why don't you tell them about your experience?
Well, I quit my job. I had worked for Costco for about almost for 15
years.
That's
a good career.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people get stuck in that culture. It's hard to walk away from, I think, for a lot of people. But it was always flexible for me when the band, because I always had it in my mind that I was going to do music eventually. So I was never full-time. I always worked part-time. Because I was always able to manage, you know, to convince one of my managers to give me an extra 2 weeks of vacation or something. But over time, as things snowballed, and especially as we were preparing to come back after the pandemic, I just knew the schedule was going to be too much, and I didn't want to have to worry about begging my boss for an extra week or two here and there. And I kind of just, you know, I sold some stocks. I cashed in a little bit of my 401k, not all of it, but some of it. And I just kind of had a little nest egg for my transitionary period. And this is all I've been doing since we came back. It's just been going on tour. We haven't, you know, we're going to be home for the longest I've been in over a year coming up after this tour. But we've been busy all year. So I've just been, you know, pretty smart with my money. I live pretty simply.
Sure.
I have a pretty minimalist life. But
I mean, that's probably a big step, dude. Yeah. That is a big step because, like, they're like, you know, that is like, you know, a good career and that's a company that values their employees. And it's like, you know, that is very comfortable. You could get very, you know, and you know, it could always be something that, you know, you have that, you know, stability, but that's a big step. And, you know,
but it's not rock, and I don't want to.
Exactly.
It wasn't my dream to go work at Costco for my whole
life.
So now that I have this opportunity, we'll see what happens in the future, but I don't regret it in any way, shape or form.
That's a big
step. You know, I'll see what happens, but I wouldn't want to miss this opportunity.
You could always go back to
exactly.
That.
I can always go back to being a regular jackoff, but right now,
there you go.
I'm a rocker, so
yeah,
nice. Dude. You keep in touch with any of your coworkers? Like, hey, come check out my gigs, dude.
No, I have a lot of friends from Costco.
That's cool.
A lot of my bosses and everything throughout the years have been super supportive.
Yeah,
I worked for that company for a long time at several different locations, and I do have a lot of friends, good people that work there, and they've supported me through all these years. So I've got a lot of support from them over the years, and I still keep in touch with them, and I'm very grateful for them. So
nice, dude. Well, you ever notice that people wear like the? I see, like, it's almost like a streetwear thing. Like, kids wear Kirkland signature T-shirts now.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a new Carhartt.
It's totally Kirkland signature brand, dude. It's so funny, but you know, I gotta say, dude, the hot dog and the soda combo, dude, like 125, 150, can't beat that some days.
Yep,
it's great. Guys, okay, so, you know, winding down here, my last question for everyone, and Chase, feel free to jump in if you have any, you know, I've asked you this a couple times, so I try not to punish you too much, but if you want to, you know, answer with, you feel free, but guys, Eric, let's start with you. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
I have a burn on my arm.
Okay.
And we were doing that was a long time ago, we were like, acting all creepy to freak these people out at a party.
Sure.
We were like, there's these people, and we were like acting like, me and my friends are acting like we were like worshiping Satan.
Oh yeah.
And we had like this sword and these candles, and like to go all the way with the joke, I put the sword in the flame. These people were like, who are these people in
this corner? Are really satanic.
And I just like burned my arm with it. And you could smell it.
Okay, darkest cowboy.
Yeah, this little scar. I told my mom that I burned it working on my car.
Dude.
But really, I was worshiping Satan.
Living the gimmick.
Yeah.
I have a scar on my knee from skateboarding when I was like 10 years old.
Okay.
It was pretty deep gash, and I was bleeding quite a bit. And it's actually kind of sick because after like I went back into my house, like I didn't clean it up. I just let the blood just like roll down my leg, and I put on Wait and Bleed by Slipknot. And I was like, damn, dude, this is what this song is all about. So yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. And how about you, man?
I have a scar on my left knuckle from the first tour back we did after pandemic was with Knocked Loose. And I think we were all, at least for me, I was kind of coming back into playing live and like having my confidence back. And I like to get pretty wild when I play anyways, but I guess this particular night I got really wild and I punched my hi-hat with my hand instead of a stick, which is what most drummers use to hit the hi-hats.
And most of the time.
I didn't notice until after the show, but I had my hand was covered in blood.
Jesus.
And my stick and everything was covered in blood, and I was like, what happened? And I looked and I had a really big gash on my on my knuckle, and it took the whole tour even longer to heal, but it's finally healed, but there's a big scar there still. So
wow. Damn.
I actually have a scar on my right wrist. It's kind of big, but I was like 10, I think. We were playing hide and go seek in my parents' backyard, and the window was base. So I was just like booking it, running away from someone, just went straight through it.
Straight through it. Huge.
I went inside the house. I was like, freak. I was just more in shock.
Yeah.
But it was like my arm was half the size as it was now, and the scar was like that big.
God damn.
So it was like, I was terrified. I was like, I'm going to die. Like, it was like bleeding like crazy. But damn. Yeah, I still have it.
It's brutal.
It's my biggest problem.
I don't think you've ever asked me this question before.
Really? Okay.
I don't think so.
Let's go.
I have two big scars on my arm from breaking my arm skateboarding, but I have a scar on my face from, I was at a family camp that my family, immediate family and extended family used to go to in Utah. It's like a Mormon family camp.
Okay.
And where you do like activities, you like stay in cabins. And me and my cousin were taking turns. There was kind of a creek and we were jumping across, and I was trying to jump across and I slipped and I tried to get footing on like a mossy rock and I slipped and hit my face on another rock. And so it was kind of secluded a place. So my uncle, who is a dentist, eventually they brought me up to this kind of like main cabin, and my uncle laid me out on the coffee table and gave me stitches with a fishing hook and fishing line.
Whoa.
So we were there for like a week. That was at the beginning, and at the end, he cut the stitches out. But,
damn.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
That's awesome, dude. That's great. Wet, hot American summer, Mormon style.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude. That's awesome.
Shout out Aspen Grove.
Shout out Aspen Grove.
There's a lot of scars.
Dude.
Yeah, that was
when we were steaming the banner?
Oh, yeah.
Someone like put the banner away wrong, so it's all like messed up. Sure. You know? Like, it has to be like flat. And like, Chase was like, hold it and I'll steam it.
And like a hand steamer.
And like just like went through it and just like burned, like melted my stomach, and my like skin turned into gel.
Jesus, dude. That's cool. Right, a death metal
song. Chase laid me out and he put stitches with fishing line.
Nice, dude. Awesome. Guys, you know, we're going to go, you know, if you're hearing this, the show's already happened, and it was amazing, dude. I did like 20 stage dives. Hate Breed tonight, but, you know, if you're listening to this somewhere else, definitely check out this tour. Definitely check out Gate Creeper, Unexpected Reality, all their past records, and the record that they're about to start writing and recording. Guys, any final words for the Northwest audience?
Happy to be back.
Nice.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for all the support over the years. And excited to be back.
Right on.
I love dicks.
There you go. Hey.
I want to eat a bag of dicks later.
Nice. All right. Let's get it. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.